And from the KCOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. On Tuesday, protesters across the country organized rallies against four major banks for funneling more than $1 trillion to fossil fuel projects in recent years. In Juneau, organizers called their protest the Great Alaska Credit Card Chainsaw Massacre. Anna Canny has this report.
2 dozen people holding picket signs are lined on the sidewalk outside the Wells Fargo Bank in downtown Juneau. Doug Woodby is leading a small crowd in a call and response. On the bed of a pickup, Bob Schroeder stands before a plywood model of an Alaska Airlines credit card. He lifts his chainsaw. And then he slices the card in two, tossing the pieces on the street. This was just one of more than 100 demonstrations across the nation on Tuesday for the Stop Dirty Banks Day of Action. Demonstrators gathered outside of big banks like Wells Fargo, Citibank, Chase Bank, and Bank of America, which owns the popular Alaska Airlines credit card.
Every time we deposit, insert, swipe, or tap our cards, congratulations, we've just helped to finance extreme oil.
The hope is to pressure banks to end their investments in oil and gas expansion. Alaska is at the center of a national debate on fossil fuel expansion. Earlier this month, the Biden administration approved the Willow Project. It's the major ConocoPhillips oil drilling project on Alaska's North Slope. The project was a rallying point for Rebecca Contreras, who spoke on Tuesday. She's an activist with the Tongass chapter of Women for Forests. In her speech, she called attention to the state's continued push for mining and drilling activities.
I'm sick of hearing people, culture, and land protection are important, and industry is getting shoved down our throat.
ConocoPhillips relies on big banks to fund projects like Willow. They've received $10 billion from the four banks since the signing of the Paris Agreements. The demonstration's national organizers hope that customers can pressure their banks to stop funding new oil and gas projects. The vast majority of protesters are retirees. Older Americans are well suited to appeal to banks. They control the vast majority of wealth in the United States. In Juneau, protesters said they want their concern about climate change to be reflected in how they manage their money. For Kate Troll, that might mean ditching the Alaska Airlines credit card.
We love the miles, you know, but I think we have to think about the greater trade-off, and that's what this is trying to bring attention to.
Some demonstrators signed a pledge to close their accounts if banks don't commit to ending fossil fuel financing. Before Tuesday, the pledge had over 17,000 signatures nationally.
I come from Southeast Alaska, where it rains a lot on me. And I'm going to move my money to a bank that's fossil free.
Whether the protest will have any sway remains to be seen. The banks have overlooked multiple calls to limit funding for fossil fuels in the past. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Excuse me. Two Kluwak men are facing second-degree murder charges after allegedly beating an 80-year-old man to death early Tuesday morning. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, investigators believe the killing was motivated by rumors circulating on Facebook.
Alaska State Troopers found Lincoln Bingo Paradovich dead in his Kluwak trailer home early Tuesday morning. According to Adam Hawkins with the Alaska Bureau of Investigation, 21-year-old Blaze Andrew Diltz and 22-year-old Moses Scott Blanchard allegedly beat the 80-year-old man to death with their hands, feet, and heavy household objects. During an interrogation, Diltz and Blanchard reportedly told investigators that they had seen a post on Facebook alleging that Paradovich had catcalled an underage girl and pursued her with an axe the day before. Diltz told investigators he did not know if the allegations were true. According to court documents, state troopers investigated the allegation that Paradovich chased the young girl with an axe on Monday and found that, quote, no crime had occurred. The beating allegedly happened in the early morning hours on Tuesday. Around 1:30 a.m., the two suspects, along with a minor boy and a minor girl, were walking on a trail near Paradovich's trailer home. The girl said she told the group she was scared to walk past Paradovich's house because of the rumors. She says that Blanchard and Diltz told her not to worry because they were with her. That's when investigators say Diltz punched in a window of the trailer and kicked in the door. Diltz, Blanchard, and the boy walked in and saw Paradovich sleeping on a mattress on the floor. Then, all three allegedly started stomping on the man and beating him with their fists and heavy objects. Firewood, a cannonball-shaped 15-pound weight, a chair, and a milk crate. In an interview, Blanchard reportedly told police that the minor boy's involvement was, quote, minimal. The alleged assailants fled after a passing car started honking in an attempt to draw attention to the scene. Troopers had arrived at about 3 a.m., roughly 90 minutes after the assault was reported. Kluwak's police department has been unstaffed since the death of the former chief in January. Both suspects reportedly told police they did not call for medical help for Paratovich. Blanchard and Diltz are both facing second-degree murder and manslaughter charges and a second-degree burglary charge. They remain in custody at the Craig Jail with a bail set at $600,000. An Alaska State Troopers spokesperson declined to say whether anyone else could face charges in connection to Paratovich's death. The investigation is ongoing. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
And Alaska House Speaker Kathy Tilton called for a vote Tuesday to reject salary increases for the legislature, governor, and state commissioners. This comes after a tumultuous month for the commission that makes salary recommendations for elected officials. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports.
It's been more than 10 years since the governor or the legislature have had a pay raise. The latest plan would bump the governor's pay up about 20% to $176,000 per year. Legislators would get a 67% raise to $84,000 per year. House Speaker Kathy Tilton, a Republican from Wasilla, said at a news conference that her majority caucus was concerned about the process that produced the pay raises.
People have different opinions on what this should look like, but at this point, I think that conversation needs to continue a little bit more.
Salary recommendations are typically made by a 5-member state commission appointed by the governor. Earlier this month, all 5 members resigned or were fired after producing a recommendation report that included raises for the governor, lieutenant governor, and state commissioners, but not for the legislature. A new commission was appointed almost immediately, which amended the report to include a pay raise for legislators. Proponents of the legislative pay raise say it ensures diversity in the body. Larry Persily was one of the members of the original commission who was fired last week. He says the commission shuffling is not how government is supposed to work.
This was not a transparent process. This was within the span of, 48 hours? You get rid of a board, just happen to have 5 bystanders who you're going to name, and magically they all agree to vote the same way on something that there's no backup, no discussion. I'm okay with a legislative pay raise. I would have voted for one, but this is not the way to do it.
Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, said Tuesday that the legislative pay raise was a long time coming. He did not indicate whether he would support Tilton's call to reject the new salary recommendations.
We're concerned. We're listening about that. We're listening to what they're saying. We haven't made any firm decision on what our plans are exactly.
In a press conference Tuesday, Governor Mike Dunleavy defended the decision to replace compensation commissioners.
I know that some want to believe there's some nefarious or dark reason why the members of the commission were removed. But again, as I explained earlier, all statute, constitution, regs, you name it, were followed, have been followed, will be followed.
The governor said the decision to accept or reject the new salary recommendations is in the hands of the legislature. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
The salmon shark dissection was a longtime fan favorite event at Kodiak's commercial fishing trade show, Comfish. This year, the dissection returned after a pandemic-induced hiatus. No sharks were available for this year's event, but as KMXT's Brian Venlaw reports, organizers use an inky alternative.
A squid measuring about 6 feet long arrived in a cooler and was laid out across a few tables at the Kodiak High School entryway. About 3 dozen observers gathered in fascination as the first incisions were made. Eloise Pryor was one of the excited kids nearby.
So what did you think of the dissection?
It was amazing!
It was most likely a robust club hook squid, according to the scientists. The crowd watched as they identified each organ from the squid's eyes to its stomach. Eloise says she was excited to help the biologists.
Other than that, squids have 3 hearts.
The annual dissection used to be a Comfish tradition to educate and entertain kids and adults alike, but there hasn't been a dissection at the conference since 2019. Usually organizers dissect salmon sharks, which are named for their primary food source. But there isn't a commercial harvest for that species, so the event is reliant on incidental harvest or bycatch.
This is KTOO.